The question this week is, how high is high in the soybean market? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Bridget Chenoweth of AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. Paul, are we close to a top in the soybean market?
Well, just reviewing a couple of quick three items here, Todd. Number one, the USDA's crop production report basically indicated to me that we needed to go up 50 cents pretty easily. We did do that. We did get this story about the Chinese building a grain reserve in soybeans. And my general opinion is that the Chinese have bought maybe 1.5 to 2 million metric tons of soybeans. They'd love to see the soybean market slow down here. My general impression is that we are going to see the soybeans at least ascend here at a slower rate. We do think the farmer will sell some $10 new crop beans. I don't think it's in the card to pay $11 cash beans here in the next 30 days, but that's my best guess.
Pete Manhart, 19-year highs in the soybean market. We have much more to go?
For right now, I don't think so. I think we could try that 11 in the front end, but I think then we'll swoon back into January and then have the fight on for acres, possibly where they haven't put anhydrous on for the spring, and maybe try the $12 in the spring.
And Bridget Chenoweth, your quick assessment of what happened in the bean market for the week?
No, I agree with these guys. I really think that the market's probably right for a little bit of a correction. We could see the market kind of test that 1099 high we saw back in 1988, and then correct for a while, and then going into spring, we're kind of in a whole different ballgame as we fight for those acres.
November contract in the bean market expired this week. January is your new lead option. It had a high for the week on the weekly trade at $10.88, the low at $10.34.5, and the new lead option now settled at $10.77.75. That's up 24.75 cents from last week's settlement. Next year's November contract at $10.17 in the bean pit, up 27.5. I think, Paul, that about 54% of the yearly exports have been completed at this point. We're moving quickly.
Yes, the world export demand, particularly just looking back, obviously, even with a 500 million bushel carryover, we did see the Chinese come into the marketplace and buy beans, basically buy all the beans out of South America, and they're starting to buy U.S. origin beans. My general impression is that this high price level should encourage the South American producer to at least produce somewhere in the 7 to 10% more. We also realize that the big push here is vegetable oil and edible oil. We're going to see some competition out of Malaysia, particularly the palm oil. But the general idea here is that the transportation costs, it makes it very expensive to get soybeans delivered to China. But it seems like that the demand is great, and it could even be front-end loaded, and it wouldn't surprise me to see the basis. The futures on the nearby gain on the deferred in here to basically help tell the rest of the story as we go into the early winter time frame.
You agree with him, Pete, that the nearby is going to gain on the deferred in the basis market?
That wouldn't surprise me at all. The question is China about done buying, or are they going to buy a bunch more before they get this reserve built up? And then the other thing is, what's crude oil going to do? If it goes back as under 90, we could see the beans back off 50 or more. If they go back up towards the 100 and stay there, we could see beans add 50 or more.
Bridget, what's the tech action look like for the week?
As far as soybeans are concerned?
Yes.
I think it looks pretty good. You know, as you said, we just put that recent 19-year top in place. And technically, I think beans are holding together pretty well right now.
What would signal a turn for you?
I think if we saw anywhere of those beans close down below like the 1029 area, could be that be a strong signal that there's been a top, especially in that January contract.
What's AgriVisor talking about in terms of cash marketing at this point for soybeans?
We're looking for the 2008 crop. We're looking to be about 20% sold. I know for this year's crop, we're right in that 65% sold region.
Paul, what do you think about marketing soybeans?
My general impression is, from previous ideas, I've been very aggressive on selling the old crop. I'd hold off to at least get the $10 plus area on the new crop beans. We definitely realize the trend in soybeans are up, and one particular way to reward yourself for further price input is to consider these bull call spreads. Maybe buy an $11 call and sell a $12 call. You can pick your month for the bullish aspects of just when you think that next dollar up is going to come.
Taking a look at the numbers from the corn pit for the week, the December contract, a high of 385 and a half, the low at 373 and three quarters. Their settlement price on the week, Friday over Friday, down 7 1/4 cents at $3.79 and a half. December for next year at $4.24 and a quarter, down 7 1/4 from last week. Are you a willing seller, Pete, of new crop corn yet at this point?
I'm a willing seller at the $4 mark or right around there. I'd be at least 20%, maybe 30 or 40 on that corn. I think industry in the last week has decided that we aren't going to have that many fewer acres of corn, so that maybe helped push us back down a little this week.
What are the fundamental actions like for the week, Paul?
Well, the general impression that I get is that the market has seen a basis play that's been tremendous. This corn that we put on the grounds, there's a tremendous profit in it. My impression is that the country elevators are going to be moving that out into the marketplace very quick. We did see a lot of corn move at harvest time, but my general idea is that people will be studying the carry, and we will see additional selling. My general thought is the farmer wants to move corn into the marketplace, particularly on the ideas that inform a group, think maybe corn could be anywhere from 25 to 40 cents too high. Somewhere along the line, they feel that the idea that we have to reduce corn acres and increase soybeans. The other side of that one is maybe beans have to go up and corn really can stay here sideways. But the acreage that I think that we're buying is South America and not so many U.S. beans, because I think the farmer still wants to plant a lot of corn, and that's one reason why I think corn is vulnerable for a price drop here.
Well, tell me a little bit more about vulnerability of price drop. Is that because the country elevators are willing to move at this point that corn which is stored on the ground fairly quickly into the marketplace? And what should farmers do? Are they going to wait it out for a January pop, potentially after this has moved?
The one thing that's really saved the corn market here from any kind of a drop is these export sales we've been seeing. You know, there's 50 million bushel plus the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think that in time, though, Todd, once we start getting the Argentine crop established, get some of these other crops in the southern hemisphere coming on stream, we do still have a carryover very close to 2 billion bushels, and that's enough in anybody's textbook example of having enough corn to at least carry us through this coming year, September.
Pete, what are farmers mostly asking you for the week?
Where do I get sold to on old crop, and how much of new crop should I sell? We've got guys 50 and 60 and 70% sold on old crop corn. And at that $4 mark, I've got guys that are half sold on new crop. I'd want to be 20 to 30% at the $4 mark sold on new crop. And I would, on bounces up, I would be adding more to my old crop and be over 50% sold on old crop corn.
And we spent quite a bit of time a couple of weeks ago, actually about a month ago, talking about protecting income for next year. Have farmers been talking to you about next year's income, Bridget, and how to protect it, and what kinds of strategies have you outlined?
You know, I think a lot of farmers are looking ahead into the next year and seeing these attractive prices, and we're trying to be fairly aggressive on making some of those 08 crop sales, like this other gentleman have been saying. And if we're corn, we're looking to be 25% sold. You know, so we're looking to be a little bit aggressive, especially in the corn market, as we feel fundamentally that corn has the weakest link right now.
Todd, one thing that I want to share with you, though, is the farmers, the number one call is, when is the commodities, corn and maybe soybeans, wheat, going to decouple from the runaway energy markets, you know, and the outside, the weak dollar, the gold market, the silver market. And in all retrospect, in all honesty, of course, Glenn will help us later on but on this issue, but you know, when is we're going to see a price, you know, decouple from the runaway energy market? And everyone's searching for that answer.
Well, do you have an answer? Have you been able to give them an answer to that question, Paul?
Well, you know, we're still waiting for the rest of the book to be written at this time, Todd. And but, you know, this is something completely different than we've experienced in the 30-plus years in the commodity business here with Paul Cooley.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, which is where I'm located today, at the Crown Center, about the commodity markets and the way this market looks. We've talked about it before, much like the 70s. Are you concerned that it looks very much like the 70s, Paul?
We had a good answer. It was the Soviet Union selling gold, buying corn, you know, before the market realized it, soybeans and wheat. And the market is so much different than that particular thing because, you know, we were exporting, you know, tremendous volumes of corn, soybeans and wheat. And the basis levels basically dictated the music and encouraged the futures markets to rally to extreme levels. So this is so much different than those particular era that it's just a different chapter.
Well, we've had different things.
The stock market today too involved with the funds. Funds have got billions now that they're willing to put into hard products, which is corn and beans and wheat. And as the stock market has troubles, I can see them putting a lot more that would help push corn and beans and wheat higher.
Well, possibly, but what about the index funds? And maybe, Bridget, you might be able to address this. What if the index funds, and I'm thinking in particular of Goldman Sachs, makes a recommendation or potentially has made some recommendations to think about liquidating positions in the agricultural markets? What happens if that's the stopper this time around, as opposed to in the mid-90s when it was the Asian economy or the Asian flu, when that economy started to struggle, or whether it was an embargo at one point? What if this time around it's simply about money flow out of the agricultural markets? Is that a possibility, do you think, Bridget?
You know, I do think it's a possibility. I know earlier in the week there was some of those recommendations kind of chatter that, you know, to liquidate some of those positions, and it really hasn't come to bear much fruit here in the commodity markets. But I do think it's a possibility, and I think that that just goes to show how volatile these commodity markets are likely to be going into 2008.
Let's take a look at the wheat market for a bit. December contract, the high this week at 772.5, a low at 740.75. December wheat settled $7.49.5 a bushel, down 12.5 cents from last week. July futures at 665.25, down 16.25 from last week. Paul, how much lower do you think December wheat futures or just the lead option might be able to run?
We're not going to go down too much, I don't think, on the December wheat contract, except we did have a very substantial sell-off today. And it's possible it can go on down, particularly if we do see generous rains in the western wheat growing area, western Kansas and that area. I think the big wheat debacle is going to come on down the road because we do see worldwide increases of acreage. We see, you know, the Informa Group indicated that from their last estimate and from a year ago, where the wheat acreage is basically 3.6 million acres above a year ago's planting. And with weather, good weather around the world, improved weather in Australia, rain in Argentina, I do think that we are looking at, and lots of acres over in the EU, I do think we could see maybe a $1, $1.20 down in the wheat market summer harvest time in the U.S.
And Paul or Pete, would you think that eventually we'll get back to a normal premium for the deferred on the wheat?
I don't know that we ever will. I mean, the front month is still very tight, the tightest supply to demand ever. But, you know, that front month we got to 740 and then bounced 20 up. I don't see it going a whole lot lower than the 740, whereas that July, if the northern hemisphere has all these weak areas that do well, you could see, as Paul said, the one, maybe two or more get off of that further out stuff. So I would be looking to unload any wheat that I still had and price a lot of wheat that I had planted anytime we have a bounce up in that July.
Bridget, you study wheat quite a bit. Tell me about it from your point of view.
Absolutely. 100% agree with what these guys have to say about the wheat market. I think when we look at all the commodities, wheat's definitely the most vulnerable. If all these additional wheat acres do get planted, we could see that 1 to 2 drop in market prices. So we're really telling our farmers to be aggressive with next year's wheat sales. And I think currently AgriBuyers are somewhere about 50% on the 08 wheat crop.
We'll join we'll have Glenn Ring from Glenn Ring Enterprises with us in a moment. Let's round out this first portion of Commodity Week with the rest of the numbers for the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, also known now as the CME Group. Oat futures finished the nearby December contract at 280, and that was down 9.5 cents at the Mercantile Exchange. Nearby live cattle, December contract at $96 for their high. The low at 94.50, and they settled down 20 at 95.30. November contract in the feeders at 108.85, up 90 for the week. December lean hogs 54.30 for their high for the week. The low at 52.30, a settlement price at 52.52.5. They finished down $1.37.5. Just one other note before we get to Glenn Ring. A cattle on feed report for November was released at 2 o'clock Central Time Friday afternoon. It shows on feed at 98%. That's within the trade range. Placed in October at 112. That's also within the trade range and marketed in October at 106%. And now Glenn Ring from Cedar Falls, Iowa, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Glenn. Thanks for being with us here on the program.
Well, it's good to be back again.
You do a lot of long-term cycles. Tell me where we are and how you see this fundamentally.
Well, I'm not much on fundamentals except to occasionally watch to see how the market's tracking the trends. And I would say the fundamental that has been dominating the marketplace, and I can correlate it out through many, many markets, has been the downtrend in the dollar. And as of this week, in fact, in the last week and a half, I finally have signs that maybe the dollar crisis, and it has legitimately been a crisis by historical standards, may be abating. And if it abates, a lot of the prices, a lot of the markets have been price inflated. Currency-driven inflation is a different critter than growth-driven inflation. And you do get a lot of air pockets under it. And I beg to differ with people that say that this is not similar to the 1970s, because while there are many things that are different, the currency component to it is very similar, and it does create a high risk that you're going to get air pockets in these markets. Wheat in particular is one that has been known to act like it falls down an elevator shaft at times. Plus, there's some cycles in play right now. Ironically, I've got bearish cycles short-term in wheat and corn and bullish in beans.
Glenn, characterize the crude oil market in 30 days and a year. What is your range of prices that you are looking at in that particular commodity?
Well, with all due respect, I don't predict the future, but I can tell you where we're at now and what the risks are. Now, predicting and probabilities are different things, by the way, and I can give you some ideas. This month marks the three-quarter point of the 12-year cycle in crude oil. It is a great time to look for a top in crude oil. I've been long projecting a move to 98. We got there. Market's acting toppy. In fact, I have topping action in gold. I have topping action in crude oil. And I have bottoming action, like I said, in the dollar. And I've got topping action in silver. I suspect that we are at a buying climax in crude oil right now. And if that's the case, over the next 12 months, I would not be surprised to see crude oil test the $50 area.
Pete, do you have a question for Glenn?
On your corn, so we're looking at bearish corn. What kind of going out would you look at for corn as far as how far overpriced we are?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good challenge. I believe that corn's been overpriced by about 30, 40, maybe even 50 cents due to the dollar situation. Because what a lot of people don't realize on these price rises we have, most commodities have lost real value on these rises. So I would say that would not be surprised to see December corn still, before it expires, drop into the 335 area. I have 34-week cycle lows coming due in wheat and corn at about the same time, as early as next week, more likely the very end of November, early December. Then I'm looking for a rebound of some significant degree, and I'll really have a lot better handle on the rebound once I see the break, if we get one. And then I would expect to roll up into probably January, maybe early February, and then I do have corn coming down into another cycle low around mid-year next year, and that could be ugly. I'm thinking in the 260s.
Well, 260s, how are you suggesting that producers protect themselves?
Well, the farmers that I work with, I have we've been suggested to be 100% sold in 07 since June of this year, and we're starting to protect 2008 now. And as aggressively as they want, I don't really usually, unless I want to clear the table, I don't usually tell them how aggressive I want to get. But the one thing that we're doing is, as we sell grain, we're keeping the back door open by buying cheap insurance calls on these markets simply because the dollar is at risk of accelerating down. If it doesn't bottom, We'll turn a crisis into a panic, and there's just such extensive history here that I'm dealing with that I can't even begin to address it all here. But the bottom line is one of the fears that we have to watch out for. One of the things we have to watch out for is to see if gold starts making new highs. If we get gold out, if we put a $900 print on gold, because gold is a better measure of the dollar, by the way, than a dollar index. We put a $900 print on gold. We run in risk of a world panic, a world dump of the dollar as a commodity, and then that would send our production costs soaring. And that's why we're out there using cheap calls to offset what we sell, just to hedge against production costs, hedge against hyperinflation, as we saw in the early 1970s.
What do you think the possibilities are that such things might occur?
I think as of today, the possibilities have declined markedly. As of 2 weeks ago, I would have given you an even odds that we were going to go into some kind of a hyperinflation. Today, because of the failure that we've seen in gold in the last week, and it's a huge failure so far, I would lower that to probably a 10% factor is all now. And that's a huge relief in my mind.
Bridget, do you have a question for Glenn?
I do, Glenn. You know, you just spoke of the corn market. What about the soybeans? Where do you see these longer-term soybean prices, you know, cyclically going into the spring months, and how do you advise those farmers on making 08 crop sales?
Yeah, the soybeans are the ones I'm the most hesitant about selling because of both soybeans and meal have broken some key barriers. Soybean meal came off of a 47-week cycle low late this summer. You know, advanced nicely, and it could have another $20 to $40 up pretty easily. Nearby soybeans, we appear to be returning to a 131-week cycle. Now, I'm not sure if it's back, but I can tell you that the rhythm is running. That targets a timing turn in mid-December, high or a low, be it a high or a low. I'd prefer a setback and then another leg up into early next year. The problem with soybeans is I'm not as comfortable yet on long-term sales just based upon price, again, because of the dollar has really devalued that. One thing, though, I should note that may not answer the question, but the Brazilian real is broken out to the top side of an uptrending channel. That is very commonly will generate an acceleration in trend. And if that's the case, it'll make our beans even more competitive for a time. And, you know, that'd be a good thing for us. $11 is big on the nearby beans. That's huge because even though the old high was $12.90 on a trade, $11 is the high on primary resistance in soybeans, even back in the early 1970s, and again, as you're well aware, in 1988. So what do we do with that? If we're around $11 in mid-December when I have those timing turns due, that's when I want to be very defensive. If we happen to set back into that time frame, we got a decent shot of accelerating through it, especially if the dollar has not bottomed.
How high is high then in soybeans?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't even have an answer because people, if the dollar were to accelerate down, we would look at a very real risk of, we could theoretically double prices in commodities without improving value. Because, again, the fear of the panic on the dollar. Now, again, I'm down to 10% or less odds that that's going to happen anymore. With that said, if the dollar does not accelerate down, I'm going to think that soybeans, even though if we clear 11, it would be big, I'm going to think we're going to have a lot of trouble getting much over the 1210 to 1220 area. So that's kind of my high end right now, unless the dollar collapses again.
Paul, do you have a number?
Glenn, what's your outlook on the stock market and, short-term, a little longer-term as well?
Well, right now I'm very concerned about the timing of the stock market. I had timing turns based on a 20-year cycle. In fact, the 1/4 point of the 20-year cycle was due in July or October of this year. Both have marked highs. Thus, that suggests that the stock market is going to be on the defensive for months to a year or more. I could see, under this scenario, I can see the Dow trading down into the 10,000 area in the next 12 months. My concern still out here is if the dollar turns around, even the stocks have been currency inflated. I can correlate that, and that's a problem. What I'm getting at is the inflation that we have seen has hidden the domestic contraction that is going on based upon the market action I'm seeing. And that domestic contraction, I think, is a lot bigger than people realize, and I think that's going to hurt commodity prices. Of all markets, keep an eye on copper and whether copper starts closing below the lows that we just posted in the last 30 days.
Glenn, any
that
final
would be
word?
A bad sign.
Any final word before from you besides that bad sign before I let you go for the day?
I'm actually optimistic because of what happened in the dollar in the last couple of weeks in here because of it reduces the risk that we're going to go into that the system will be threatened, which a currency collapse would be. So I'm actually optimistic, even though we're going to have to struggle a bit.
Glenn, we appreciate you being with us.
You're welcome.
Glenn Ring is with Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. You can see more from him at glennring.com. Now, a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Bridget Chenoweth.
I think this is a point where farmers can't ignore these high prices, and they need to at least take a look at making some new crop sales, be a small portion, but just to get at least some of the sales on the books.
Bridget Chenoweth is with AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities out of Normal.
If we haven't made sales at these high prices, I'd be looking at making more of them. If we're going to hold stuff, I'd be looking at putting some puts or something underneath them to protect them from possible downside.
And Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services.
Biggest difference between the 70s and the 2000 era here is a commodity called ethanol, and it's a big stabilizing influence to the bottom line of American agriculture.
Our thanks to Paul Cooley and Pete Manhart and Bridget Chenoweth, along with Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers in Kansas City at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good week.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.